Right, we welcome Antonio Flores from Lawbird Legal Services. Good afternoon, Antonio. How are you?
Very well. Good afternoon. Great. Fantastically well.
Great to have you on, Antonio. As always, when I first came to Spain, I read a book called The Brand New Spaniards, and I read Ghost of Spain by Giles Tremlett, and it's all about Spanish culture. And one of the things that Giles brings up in the book is that tax avoidance is a national sport, and it has been since time immemorial. I think it's fair to say that the Spanish, like most other nations, don't like paying taxes. But there's been the kind of a movement on the culture here in Spain recently.
Yeah, I don't think tax avoidance has been part of the Spanish culture. I think it's been more tax evasion.
Yeah, as in like paper, straight, cash and so on.
Yeah. Exactly, straight tax evasion. I think tax avoidance, like schemes and legal schemes and loopholes and things, are probably been more popular in countries with more sophisticated fiscal tax systems, like the UK or Scandinavia. In Spain, it was more about using cash, and that would be it. You know, just deal with it fast and quick, and not have too many headaches.
Absolutely.
But things have changed now.
Spain's, they're getting aggressive, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, Spain's becoming a northern country in that matter, in many respects. And actually, that email I've sent you, I title it "The Aggressiveness of the Spanish Tax Office is Surpassing All Expectations." And you see, every year that goes by, we see that the tax office is basically new tactics. It's like, cat and mouse game. So much so that, we're not given up, but most people have now decided that they're not going to be now trying anything with a tax office because they just feel they're going to get caught. That's the situation, and that applies to various areas of business, of trade, commerce, even one's own tax declaration.
And you know what? I've got this anxiety. I don't know if you ever get this, Antonio, but when you get one of those recorded deliveries that arrives from the Correos and it says Hacienda on it, you think, oh, no, what now? It's a horrible feeling, isn't it?
You know why? Because you can't just bin the letter, because the next thing that will happen is that they'll take the money out of your bank account.
Yeah.
Before they used to take maybe a year or 2 years or whatever, but now it's a matter of months, before you realize there is a deduction in your bank account.
Yeah.
So let me just give you some pointers, as to why we say this. Okay, the first thing is the cash used in commercial transactions has almost disappeared. You hardly see any 500 tax bills anymore. They normally come from other countries.
You're talking about big money here, because quite often, and I won't name places obviously here, but I've been places and I've, maybe got my car service or something along those lines, and they give me the invoice and they'll say, of course, it's a little bit less if you're paying cash.
Yeah.
So that still happens.
Yeah, it happens. But, that's a problem. That's, it's always a double-edged sword, because then you want to claim and you've only got a receipt or whatever, so they'll deny having served you. But anyway, that's one of those things, property transactions especially, there's nothing, there's still a few, but not that many anymore. Now, the use of Spanish limited company, the use of it to mitigate taxes on property ownership has almost disappeared as well. So companies have gone back to the original inception purpose, when they were first created, which is limitation of liability. People now don't use them to avoid taxes anymore because it just doesn't work anymore.
Mm.
And the same applies to offshore companies. Offshore companies are pretty much extinct. Nobody uses them. Only very old-fashioned people individuals who not necessarily don't want to avoid or evade taxes, just they don't want anyone to know that they're buying a property.
Yeah.
They'll tell the tax office, no problem. They'll open up with them absolutely everything. They'll disclose everything, but they don't want maybe a creditor, a large creditor, maybe an ex-wife or ex-husband who's after them. So they would use them only in those cases. Another thing that's happening with companies is that a lot of people have been operating companies as people who were normally sole traders, one-man bands.
Yeah.
And they've set up a company and they haven't got any employees, they haven't got an office, they haven't got an infrastructure to show that they are operating, or they should be operating, as a limited liability company. There's only one shareholder as well. And that's happened a lot in Spain in the last few years. A lot of singers, a lot of artists, stand-up comedians, they used to have companies. And so, of course, then they would say, okay, where are your employees? Where's your staff? We didn't have any.
Yeah.
So they force them to pay tax as an income tax. So they've made them pay a lot of money.
So that's self-employed people who are really basically are working on their own. and writing their own factoras out. Yeah,
exactly. So that's, you know, the fine line there. You know, it's blurred when you are a company, when you're not a company. Of course, if you work from home, you haven't got employees, you haven't got a whole office, you can't really have a company. You know? And if you do and you get away with it, it's because they haven't found you.
Yeah.
But they will eventually find you when they decide to go after all the people that are operating through companies. Now, VAT, for example, VAT is an absolute obsession of a taxman. Okay, how many people used to say, well, I want to buy a house through a company so I can get the VAT back? They'll slaughter you if you try to do that. They'll fine you 150% of the amount of tax you tried to
avoid
to deduct legally. It's crazy, and some people don't know that. But
is there any truth in the matter that, you know, small fry people aren't so much an issue, and they go after the big fry, or is it just anybody now?
No, it's anybody, because you see, the tax office works based. They do. Checks or you know, they investigate depending on sort of sectors of the of society or certain sectors of commerce and business. So they'll go for lawyers or they'll go for small fruit shops, for example. They do a lot of cash. You know, they'll go to any sector in the economy. The very large ones, for example, I'm talking about the largest one in Spain, which is Zara. They have 100 people working for them. Like, you know, well, they have 100 tax people dedicated just to make sure that, you know, everything's done. But you have to, because, you know, it's a company that is turning over billions.
Yeah.
And it's actually a Spanish-based company, so they're not really anywhere else but in Spain. So, so that's something that is up. Another thing that is quite a way they catch people is by the cross-referencing any deal over 3,000 euros in commerce, not privately.
Yeah.
So if you issue an invoice, then, you know, you're caught. So
3,000 in a year, for instance?
Yeah, 3,000. Yeah. Well, 3,000 actually is per transaction. Okay, so...
Per transaction, right.
Yeah, above 3,000, then they'll monitor.
So they're not as... I'm not trying to kind of give people ideas here, but they're not as interested in a 2,500 euro transactions, they will be one over 3,000.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is a form that, you know, businesses have to fill out, and that any deal above 3,000 euros, so that gets disclosed.
Okay.
And they look into it. Now, there's also this new directive which has been implemented in Spain as of January of this year, which is the DAC. So for any cross-border tax planning arrangements, the tax advisors have to disclose everything about them, you know, pretty much. What are they for? What's the purpose and how it works and so on. So it's getting so difficult now that most people have decided now just to stop looking for very creative tax advisors and just go with the flow.
Yeah.
Try to make business. And
I think that's what you've got to do. Yeah. We just had a question come in from, I think it's Michael on the Costa del Sol. I think it's from Garola. And he says he started using the eToro app, which is like almost investments for kind of beginners and people that haven't got as much, you know what I mean? It kind of gets you in the game on the stock exchange. I don't think you start off making a lot on those things. You kind of build it up. But he's asking how much... when does he need to start kind of declaring that? Is it straight away or when you reach a certain amount? Or
in tax, when you reach, I can't remember what the minimum level is. I'm sure it was 9,000 euros and you have to start, you have an obligation to start declaring unless you have two sources of income.
Yeah.
Okay. In which case you've got to declare it from the first euro. I think it's 9,000 or 10,000 if I'm not mistaken.
So if he made 9,000, he'd have to start declaring that on that kind of system or whatever.
Yeah, I've got to check the exact figure, but that's about around that figure. Now the other big thing as well is this, the cryptocurrencies. They are very, very difficult to monitor, to know the source of the funds, where they're coming from, and so on. But the Spanish tax office will tax them as well. So people who pay with cryptocurrency in this country with bitcoins and so on, they'll want to know where you got them from, and if you've never declared them, then they'll tax you.
Yeah,
like, absolutely straight away.
Do people, Antonio? Of course, you can't disclose details here, but just generally, I'm talking about. Do people say, you know what? I'm still going to take the risk. I'm doing cryptocurrency, or I'm investing, or I've got this money here. and I'll pay up the fine if I need to.
Yeah, a lot of people do take risks. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
For example, still a lot of people have properties and company names, which in the past, some years ago, used to be quite popular.
Yeah.
Until the Spanish tax office said that anyone using that house would be deemed as a tenant, whether it was the owner of the company, or the director, or a friend. So effectively, if you were not renting the house, or if you're not renting the house out, and people are living in it, or it's, you know, the house is reserved for the owners,
yeah,
it's common, then you'll have to pay a tax on it. Okay, as if you were using it like a benefit in kind. So you can't now have a property in a company name and not pay tax. You've got to pay a rental tax.
Yeah.
Whether you use it or you don't use it. If you rent it out, that's fine. You will pay tax anyway. But if you don't use it, you have to pay tax anyway. So that's also put a lot of people off from buying property in company names. But of course, if you buy in your name, then you've also got the issue of wealth tax. So either way, you're going to get caught.
Yes.
Now, the issue is how to pay a bit less, not to pay anything. Before, the mentality was, I will not pay anything because I've got this tax advisor who's told me about this and that and the other. Well, those tax advisors are actually targets for the tax office. You know? So it's, the situation has changed dramatically. And I'm talking about years,
yeah,
you know, three, four years. Amazing. The tax office has become so, you know, so inquisitive in all respects of anything. Probably, you know, even going down to the local tax office as well.
Yeah.
They're also checking on everything. So, you know, a lot of people have given up and they say, no, I just want to do it the normal way and avoid the headaches because it's going to cost me more in the long run because fines will be high.
I suppose it depends how rich you are, doesn't it, at the end of the day. If you're like me, you're probably better off because you've got no money anyway, so there's nothing to worry about. So,
but you know, when you're salaried, it's just so difficult to do anything because the money comes straight to your bank account.
Yeah, and, I think that's the best way, you know, if you can get it.
Yeah.
Just to be salaried.
You're an open book. The only thing you can do is whether what allowances you get to enjoy, and maybe you put a bit more in certain things, but they even go to small things. They can go to, you know, the expenditure of if you go for a trip, you know, which is supposed to be a business trip, and then they find out, you know, it was in August, third week of August in Cadiz, then they'll want to know, you know, why. Why.
Why were you at the kids' hotel with swimming pools? And it's a business conference, Your Honor.
But you know, you sometimes think, you know, is it really worth? I mean, what sort of resources they need to do all of that? You know, it's a lot of manpower.
It is
a lot of manpower hours into that. You know, so they just seem to be covering all levels of society,
whether it's
the highest, FTSE company, or you know, the NASDAQ or the Spanish equivalent. Yeah. For that matter, or down to the civil servant, you know, to the most obvious sort of income earner who's just making a straight salary. Now, one thing I'll say is that out of all of this I've said, there seems to be one thing that the tax office is completely missing out on, and I think it's because they have no way to monitor it, and that's the tens of thousands of European Union citizens who are living in Spain without declaring a tax residency. Okay. But not only that, also people who are not tax residents, who are tax residents from other countries outside of the European Union, for example, from Russia, from the Middle East, who do not declare what they have in their own countries. And that's because that 720 model form, whatever you call it, where you need to disclose everything, they just don't do it. And it's just no way for the tax office to find out.
I'll tell you, we've got a caller on the line. Good afternoon, you're live on TRE. Hello.
Oh, good afternoon.
Hi there. What's your name, please?
Could you ask the gentleman what you're allowed to receive in a pension before you have to declare tax?
Well, you can ask him yourself. He's on the line. Antonio, did you hear that?
Yeah, you know, I'd have to check because I'm not a tax expert myself, okay? And I'd have to look into that and come back to you. But I can do that very quickly with my tax people. So if you leave a name or a number...
Okay, what I'll do, if that's okay with you, dear listener, I'll take your name and I'll send your number to Antonio. Is that okay? And he'll call you with the answer. Oh, I think they've gone. Okay. Well, Antonio, I'll tell you if you could WhatsApp me and I'll maybe message it either today or mention it on the radio today or tomorrow on that one.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. So anyway, this is what I was saying. You know, there's just too many people to monitor.
Yeah.
People who are just floating around the European Union Schengen space, who you know, may not be tax residents in their countries. I mean, I remember a pilot who we helped with on a couple of occasions with a property. He was not a tax resident anywhere. So somehow he was working for Virgin Atlantic, and he sort of declared his residency in Spain, but in Spain he said he was a UK resident. So all in all, he never paid anything anywhere. And, you know, how he got away with it was quite interesting, but I never really got into really what was going on, because you know, you seem to think that one way or in one place or another.
Yeah, I think I've got some sort of answer here. This sounds familiar to you, let me know. At present, the maximum annual contribution entitled to reduce the income tax base is €8,000, but this amount may not exceed 30% of the sum of income from work and economic activities. That was November 27th last year, and that's from a Spain advisory website.
Yeah.
So €8,000, I think, sounds about right from what I've heard before as well.
It's
interesting stuff, Antonio, isn't it? And like I said, I wonder whether with all this extra work they're doing, whether it is actually working or paying off or not, you know, whether they're actually going to make more money in the long run or not.
You know, the tax offices seem to work. I mean, when there's less activity, they tax more.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the case, but I mean, the country needs to keep going, and what they look is into taxpayers.
They need to get the money back, don't they, on all the furlough stuff?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, how much money is going out there?
Exactly.
You know, Spain's a big country, and it's a country where there's a lot of sort of welfare, and welfare needs to get paid. And, I mean, we may not have a vast amount of sort of migrant population still, but, and, you know, the ones that are here are working. But so the welfare really is going mostly for Spaniards to national people, local people. People who are now, for example, in the furloughs and the ERTEs, people who, you know, or the healthcare and so on and so forth. So all of that has to be paid. And where do they go? Well, they just go to taxpayers. You know?
Absolutely.
Whether you make the money or not, they'll just go after you.
Yeah.
It just seems to be the way of all sort of Western democracies. You know? There's just no two ways about it. They will not reduce. They'll go up. I mean, maybe Ireland is, you know, one of the exceptions.
Yeah.
You know, getting companies there.
Well, they're getting told off for that, so.
They get told off, but, you know, they did, but as well as the Basque country in Spain.
Yeah.
They have a little sort of a tax haven going on.
Oh, really?
Well, they do that to keep them happy so that they don't ask for independence too often. You know?
See, that's quite good. Maybe we'll go for Andalusia and independence after all. Right. Antonio, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, how can they do so?
Well, they can call us on 952-86-1890, or they can email us on info@lawbird.com.
Lovely stuff. Antonio, thank you as always. Just give us that number again for those that maybe want it.
Yeah, 952-86-1890.
Yeah. And lawbird.com, yeah?
Yes.
Antonio, stay safe and we'll speak soon, my friend.
Okay, then. Keep up with your tax payments.
Yeah, is that somebody knocking on your door? Is that the Hacienda? Cheers, mate. Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.